Thank you, Jose. Greetings to you all.
Favor of Jesus Christ, those who are on live stream, those who may be listening to this later on, I greet you. You see, my sermon is titled Psalms, Hymns, Spiritual Songs, which is, I don't know, kind of funny since we skipped our song service today, but, you know, it's I get influenced, and that's what I go with. So I was influenced by this last week. I was flipping through one of my social media things, and I heard this little story, and it was kind of an inspiring story. And there was a story of this, it was actually a prosecutor in California, and he has the unfortunate service of prosecuting, you know, these child abusers. And he was prosecuting this one case. It was particularly hard for him to deal with. You know, it was hard to look at these victims. It was hard to look at the suspect. It was hard to go into the courtroom. And he went home after this very long case, and he was really wanting to just give it all up. He wanted to leave his particular field behind and go join another field of law. And he heard a song. And this song, you know, inspired him. It changed his mind. And he thought, you know what? Someone's got to do this. This is a hard job, and I know how to do it. I know how to do it well. And I get convictions, and I get bad people, evil people off the street, you know. And so he was inspired because of a song that he heard, you know. And so that inspired me to preach this sermon. So I ask that you would do one thing for me here. And your mission is to think of a song or a hymn or a psalm and, you know, be ready as I preach. You know, I may call out and ask for some help, some assistance near the end. So while I'm preaching, you can thumb through your hymnal here or there, the green book, the red book, or another song that doesn't have to be in our hymnal, but something that did something for you, that helped you through a tough time or helped you understand something or opened your eyes, gave you comfort in time of need, gave you hope, you know, just anything at all. So that is your job. All right, so we'll get started here. I just want to get this preface going. You know, music, really, it's its own language, right? But there's something to it that it's just more than its parts. You know, it's more than words. It's more than music. It's more than harmony. It's more than, you know, rhythm and tempo. And it's something that evokes emotions in us. It speaks to us. You know, I have a quote here. I don't know if we could see that or not, but it's by Ray Charles. Ray Charles was a famous musician performer. He was blind. For those maybe the younger crowd doesn't know who Ray Charles is. He died, I think, in 2004, I think, is when he passed away of old age. But he was born, he could see. And at 7 years old, he went blind. He got some disease. The doctors at the time called it childhood glaucoma. I don't know if you're exactly sure all the details of that, but he went blind at 7 years old. And as a result, there wasn't much he could do. He couldn't play sports. You know, he couldn't go and run around the neighborhood. So he began taking interest in music. And so he's quoted as saying, you know, music is powerful. As people listen to it, they can be affected. They respond. And I think that's very true. And I think he knew that as an artist and as a performer. You know, he could get people to respond. You can get people to tap their feet. You can get people to hum along. You can get people to sing with you. You know, there's it speaks, you know, and it's its own method of communication. And it affects people. It affects them to do something. It inspires, you know, you can see videos of little babies listening to music. And when they start jumping up and down and dancing kind of their own way to the music. You know, they respond even from a very young age. People respond to music. There's something that's just built within us to react and to interact with music in some way. And people pay a lot of money for this. I went to a concert last night. I was working as an off-duty police officer there, and people paid, oh gosh, I mean, there was some of these things that cost $2,000 to get inside here. And people pay it and just so they can listen to music. You know, that's what they're willing to pay to go in and feel, you know, something, you know, a distraction, you know, something to make them feel better for a short time. You know, and people are willing to do that. They're willing to pay lots of money to go see these performers and these artists. No, because it speaks to them on some kind of level. And so, songs, one of the things they do is they really get inside your head. You know, all these corporations, these businesses, these marketing people, advertising, they all understand, you know, that the power that this has. You know, they make up these rhymes, they make up these little songs, you know, and they get stuck sometimes in repeat. You ever have a song, commercial or something, you get stuck in your head? I remember one from years ago. Kit Kat. Everybody remember that song? Give me a break. That was big in the 90s, I think. You know, that was many years ago. When I was growing up in the 90s, that was a song on the radio and a song on TV. You know, and that jingle, I can still repeat that jingle in my head. You know, I still know it. You know, it gets still stuck in there. And I recall it, you know, because music bonds to your memory. And it makes you recall these things, recalls these emotions, recalls, you know, all these things that you, places and people from your past, you know, and they're attached to song. And they get stuck. You know, you go on repeat, on loop. You know, and I'm sure every one of you remembers that commercial. You can sing that jingle in your head, can't you? I see a bunch of smiles out there. Yeah. And it happens, right? Those little things, they get stuck in our head. And that's the reason why. There's something inside us that responds, makes us react, makes us remember this music. All right. Now, this is a quote from Bruce Lee. It's not necessarily about music, but it just goes to, you know, the power, that part of the power of a song or words, right? So Bruce Lee said once upon a time, don't speak negatively about yourself, even as a joke. Your body doesn't know the difference. Words are energy and cast spells. That's why it's called spelling. And you think about that, what he's trying to say, you know, these words, they have just words themselves, you know, self-talk and speaking, they have a power. And, you know, and when you put it to music, you know, you got to be careful what you're listening to, because a lot of times you'll listen to a song and you really like the energy it brings, or the tempo and the beat and the lyrics, you know, sometimes escape us, but we'll sing the lyrics to go along with the music, and then sometimes you don't even realize what you're singing. Back when I was young, there's lots of songs that were popular, and you know, you would sing along with them, and I got older, and I listened to some of those same songs, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? Why was I singing that? You hear those words now, and you're like, and you're appalled, you know? Like, but that's just, again, that's that power that music has. It gets in, you know, and if we're not careful, you know, what kind of energy or what kind of a spell, so to speak, are we putting on ourselves? Where do we get, you know, our diet? What are we putting into our heads? What are we putting into our brains? You know, what are we putting in it that we're going to remember for years and years to come? Yes, brings us together. My Three Musketeers there. Now, through songs, music, and we can share emotions, we can share spirit, we can share meaning, we can share struggles. You know, it evokes this camaraderie, you know, even though we're different. If you've ever looked at the story of the Three Musketeers, there were, you know, of course, three of them. Were they all the same? No, they weren't. They were very different, weren't they? There was one musketeer who was, you know, kind of religious. There was one musketeer who loved life, as he was described, and there was another musketeer who was all depressed, you know, because he lost something in his life. They all had these different outlooks on life, you know, but they had a common goal, something that brought them all together, you know, and music can do that for us. It can bring us all together, even though every single one of us is different. Every single one of us comes from a different background and has a different perspective. We can hear a same song and understand it, what its meaning is. And it can bring us all together. Music is a teacher. You know, how many songs from our youth can you remember? You remember singing songs in Sunday school or in Bible school? You know, we use these things. Why? Because it teaches, right? We remember song. We remember. I was in a college class, Spanish teacher. He taught us, and he said, hey, you know, singing, it's proven that if you can sing something, you take it in. And so he would teach us these little Spanish songs, and it helped us, you know, remember, you know, the words, because we could put it to music and put it to tempo, put it to rhyme, and it would, you know, it'd stick more, you know. And so we use music to teach. You know, music is such a powerful powerful thing. It gives us, you know, it's a lot more there than sometimes we give it credit for. But there's just something that's inside of us that responds, something that yearns almost and enjoys and attaches to music and song. And so, in Colossians, in the third chapter, the 16th verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so I think that God has given us this response. You know, for most of human history, I would venture to guess that most people really couldn't read and they couldn't write. You know, but one thing that everybody can do is they can sing, right? So it's one of these things where, you know, a lot of oral traditions are handed down, and oftentimes they're sung. And they're sung because you can help, it helps you remember these things. And it's no different here, you know. We're told, we're instructed, you know, take Christ's teachings, use them, admonish one another, teach one another. And you do it in song, and you do it in hymns, and you sing with this grace, and it brings a deeper meaning, a deeper level of understanding, you know, through song. This goes back even to the very beginning of the house of Israel, the Exodus in the 15th chapter. You know, the Israel had come out of Egypt. And they were on their Exodus. They were going back to Jerusalem. And Pharaoh at the time decided, no, I changed my mind. I want to go get them back. So he marches his armies out. And they have no army, right? They don't have anything that can stand up to any kind of organized force, right? There's nothing that they've got. They have nothing. And you know the story that God brings down fire, keeps the army at bay, parts the seas, they walk across, they make it to the other side, and then that army follows them in, and they are completely, utterly destroyed. And Moses, he wants his people to remember this. He wants his people to know what God has done. And so what does he do? He makes a song. And the entire 15th chapter is a song. But I'm just going to read the first three verses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. He had fought this battle for them. And Moses wanted his children of Israel, who again, probably couldn't read, probably couldn't write. You know, it's really kind of a modern day thing. Most of history, people couldn't read and write. That was an elitist type of thing. Scholars, very few of them understood, could read and write. And so your general lay, how did you get messages across to your general people, to the masses, so that they would understand it, so they would take it in? One way is you could sing, have songs performed, so that they would remember what God had done. They would remember the sacrifices that were made. They would remember the mercy that was given and the miracle which was done to help them remember, to teach them, and to admonish them. In 3 Nephi, the same thing. They have come out of this great battle. The Gadianton robbers were infesting the land, and they had gotten to the point where they were so infested, everything was being stolen. If you went to sleep, you'd wake up, your things were gone. And the land was just completely and utterly corrupt. And these robbers became so powerful, they began to unite and openly come out in warfare against the Nephites. They were Lamanites and Nephites. They're all part of this brotherhood. They wore skins and dyed themselves in blood and were very fearsome, you know, barbaric. Would come out and just take what they wanted. And they came out and said, we are going to come destroy you. We have more numbers than you, and we're going to do it. And so they went into battle. And people that were there, they realized that they were outnumbered. They realized they couldn't fight this battle and win. So they prayed. and they humbled themselves. And then they withdrew, and through strategy, they ended up surrounding this larger army and demolishing that army. You know, they took the leader and they went and they hung him in a tree and they took out and they gave amnesty to those that said they wouldn't do it anymore. You know, and at the end of it, this is what they did. 3 Nephi in the second chapter, 78 and 79. It came to pass that it break forth, all as one, and singing and praising their God for the great thing which he had done for them, preserving them from falling into the hands of their enemies. Yea, they did cry, Hosanna to the Most High God. They did cry, blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty, the Most High God. And there was this joy. They were no longer under threat of slavery and oppression. This joy of overcoming this great evil broke out in song, praising their God for what he had done, for walking with them, guiding them, directing them. No, they sang because they were so joyful, so happy for what he'd done for them. Look in Psalms in 100, verses 1 and 2. Psalms is an entire book, huge book, full of just poems and rhymes and songs written by Moses, written by David, written by others. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And was that the attitude that we come in when we come to a song service? Is that the attitude we sing songs at the beginning of service? This is what's expected. We come in song and praise, worship. That's how he expects us to be. Gladness in our hearts, joy. Or for mourning, we can sing songs of hope, songs of grace. You know, Jesus, he sang. You know, the Last Supper doesn't mention particularly in the Bible what song he sang, what songs were sung. But in according to Jewish tradition, you know, Psalms 113 to 118, those are the traditional songs that are sung at the end of Passover. And so they were probably singing these songs. It's most likely. We don't know for sure. But you know, as I scrolled through and I started looking at some of these verses, you know, I could see that, yeah, it probably makes some sense. You look in Psalms 116, 15 to 18. As Christ was about to go fulfill his duty, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord and now in the presence of all his people. You know, I would imagine those apostles, when they read those words again, it held a different meaning. They understood these songs a little differently. Probably sank a little deeper the next time they sang at Passover, knowing that their Lord and Savior was with them, what he had promised to do, what he had sung he was going to do. Skip over into Psalms 118. 14 to 17. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. Again, when that was brought up, again, when those apostles read that or sang that again, it probably held so much more meaning than it did at the time. You know, that's one of the things with song, with singing. can tie it to an emotion. We can tie it to a time and a place. A time we were sad and uplifted. A time we were downtrodden and brought back. A time we had lost. A time when we have gained. You know, you can sing in all times and all places. There's a song for, you know, a hymn for everything. If you look hard enough, you can find it. Songs for joy, and songs for times of good, songs for times of worry. It's there. Why? Because some writer sometime felt those same things and had the gift to put pen to paper, write down their emotions and their feelings, and give it over to God. And I believe that, you know, this takes place for a reason. 1 Nephi 1:7, this is Lehi in his dream in Israel. And thus being overcome with the Spirit, he was carried away in a vision. Even then he saw the heavens open, and he thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless concourses of angels in the attitude of singing and praising their God. Now, this is in heaven. You think about it, the songs that we sing. It's probably one of the few things that we're going to take with us when we leave this earth. These songs that we sing are going to bring back to heaven with us. And we can sing them for eternity. And praise our God for eternity, for all the good things that He's done, for the sacrifice He's made. Now this happens. Why? Because it speaks to us. It blends us. It binds us. It guides us. It supports us. These songs. So, what songs do you have? I put a couple down here that are just a couple of my favorite. I don't have a single one. But you know what? In the Green Book, it's become one of my favorite songs recently. Is The Lord's My Shepherd. Number 99. I just love singing that song. It takes, you know, the 23rd Psalm, and it puts it to words, you know, some words that, or it puts it into a tune that we can sing. And, you know, all those songs, I'm sure, in Hebrew probably sounded pretty good. But, you know, in today's English, you know, the translation, something's probably lost a little bit. You lose the rhythm, you lose the rhyme, you lose the harmony. Is it? We don't have the actual music they were sung with. You know, but it took one. They put it. You know, it talks about how He's going to carry us through. You know, that valley of darkness. How He's going to give us. Our cup is going to be overflowing. How He can take care of us even though our enemies are around us. All our life. And the grace that He has. You know, it speaks to my spirit. Uplifts my soul. Another one I have, number 322 in the Red Book, I heard the voice Jesus say. You know, for a long time, I was in a job I didn't really particularly care for, and I was having a hard time going there every day. But you know what? I often thought of this song. I don't know why, but it came to my heart, came to my mind. I would sing this song often as I was at work. I repeat it over and over and over again. You know what? It helped get me through. Tough time. I had to slug it out for a long time. A place I didn't really care for. But you know, this song helped me get through. So now, it's your turn. I want to hear from you. What song do you have? What song has brought you through? What song do you think of? What song do you refer to when I'm not feeling well? When I'm feeling down? When I'm worried? You know, what lifts my spirits? So I'm going to open it up. I'm going to wait. Dwayne, sir, please.
For me, what I've been whispering hope. I've always liked that song. And one time my wife and I were in Branson, Missouri. And we were going to a restroom that was inside a little enclosed mall and had some of the shops there. And as soon as we walked in the door, the whole building is filled with somebody is singing Whispering Hope, which is very uncommon anyway to go into a public place song being sung. I walked in there and I'm thinking, you know, this is not my dad. This is live, you know. So I got to find out where this is coming from. And it was a husband and wife. I guess it was just them and Dulcimer, right? And they were sitting there singing in the, you know, in the main corridor there and selling their CDs. It's always meant something more to me, you know, after hearing that. It was so inspiring to me when I walked in that building, and so shocking that I would hear that song, you know, in a public place like that.
Whispering Hope, you know what number that is? We'll find it. Whispering Hope, oh, it's cut off.
Is it 227?
Could be. It's cut off in mine. 227, Whispering Hope. Who else has one? Pat, what do you have?
It's called Shelter in the Arms of God. It's by Donnie Rambo, who's a well-known country western singer. I guess you'd call her that. She also wrote... Sorry, I have to look at my cheat sheet.
That's all right. I got a cheat sheet, too.
It seems to me that years ago, I either wrote a poem about this or I wrote a testimony about this in the Advocate or the Hand of Fellowship. I was thinking about my father, and I was thinking about how wonderful it is to feel his arms cloaked around you when you need him. And then it led me to remember this song and how much greater it is to be able to feel shelter in the arms of God. And it was just an image that I could see and feel in my heart. And then I want to just mention something that Jennifer, what's the name of that one song? Is it Person Me? I can only imagine. Okay. When I worked at TJ Pappas School downtown, I left very early in the morning because it was such a difficult job. And I left every morning at 6 o'clock. And Jennifer had a CD that I have it on my playlist. It's Pappas Morning is what I call it. And I Can Only Imagine was one of the songs on there. And I can't remember the others, but they were all Christian songs. They were all more popular now than back when I was young. Of course, they haven't even been written in, but they all inspired me so much that they got me through every day that I taught at that school, because it was just such a difficult, just lots of difficulties. And I would get in the car in the morning and they would come on, and my heart would just thrill at the fact that I was able to listen to that and be strengthened and inspired.
Thank you. Cindy?
Amazing Grace. I feel like God has let me know a few times that he's known what I was feeling or the situation I was in. Years ago, when Amy and Susie were really little, they both had chicken pox, and it seemed like it went on forever, and I had not gone to church for weeks because Jerry worked on weekends. And he was off one Sunday, and I got to go in, and I was driving in, and I was just thinking, feeling like I was far away from him. And so I thought, I'll sing Amazing Grace. And so I was singing Amazing Grace in the car on the way there. And I said to God, I hope you heard and she went up front, and her special was Amazing Grace. And I was just like, oh, wow. And then when my mom passed away, and I came home from being out there, it was hard to go home when I left, you know, my family got there, but I came in, and Allie was little, and she was sitting in our front room, and her grandma, Stavro, gave her a little music box, and just as I came in the house, she opened that little music box, and it played Amazing Grace, and I was just like, oh, thank you, you know, like, he just knows where you are, and what's going on, and this happened other times with that song also. Those were, yeah, there's another time where also after my mom passed away, I was walking over here to church and I was thinking and singing that song in my head and just praying because I was having a hard time while we started her right after she passed away. And I came in and I sat down and the first song that we sang was Amazing Grace. And I gave a testimony instead of how much that meant to me that God had, again, with that song, let me know what you heard. And Dolly, afterwards, she was the one who picked out the song at the time, came over and she said, you don't know how much of a blessing that is. That wasn't the song I picked. When I came in the door, I dropped my book and all the markers out, and I thought I marked them in the place that I picked, but somehow that got marked, and so that song, we sang that song. That's long, but
thank you. We got Amy.
Like years ago, for my first mind region, I was just really scared, and I had found a song by J.J. Hiller called I Believe, and the lyrics really touched me, and I started to sing it all the time. Like, it seemed like something every day that I ended up singing over myself. The lyrics are, there are so many things about you I don't understand, but I believe. I keep moving forward when holding your hand. I believe. The truest things I know are those I cannot see from my birth to my dying day. I believe. When I'm old, I'll talk about the things that you have done. I believe. Brokenness made beautiful, the wars that you have won, and the storms you calmed in me. The truest things I know are those I cannot see from my birth to my dying day. I believe. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And that song was, I kept singing it for probably a month and a half before I had surgery, and I actually sang it at church. And then the day of my surgery, I went down there, and I was being prepped and everything, and they came in and were talking to me about what they're going to do in surgery, and then my surgeon, he said, so we play music when people are going to sleep, or put them out with anesthesia. Is there a song you'd like to listen to? And I said, yeah. And so I told him, and he said, we'll play it. And then as he walked out, the physician assistant turned around and she grabbed my foot and she smiled and she goes, we were listening to that song, Stuck in Traffic on the way here. And she was talking about her and my surgeon. And I knew that, like, God was giving me peace that, you know, he had touched them and that he was letting me know that he knew what was going through my head. And it really gave me peace that they will be back there. That song is still one that I sing and think about all the time because it just kind of has become like a ballad, I think, in my brain for my life. So.
Thank you. Any others? Well, there's some out there. What you got, Gary?
Well, I don't really have any in particular, like a single one. I really like Lily of the Valley, but one of the things that I find interesting in my life is that the Lord gives me songs as I go along. And it depends on the situation, the atmosphere, the environment, which song it is that he puts on my heart. But I really appreciate appreciate that because there are so many songs that relate to any given situation that can give you that which you need at any given time. So I'm kind of like a radio station in my head, I guess I would say. And the songs are always changing, but I'm thankful for that because there is so much that he gives through his song and his praise for us to be able to be uplifted, whatever the given situation is.
Very true. Thank you. Gordon, what do you have?
Here, I took my testimony. Different times there'll be humming or there'll be a song that'll come. I'll wake up in the morning, there'll be a song that is there, and it's relative to whatever's going on in my life or thoughts, and it brings comfort, it brings direction, it brings whatever is needed at the time. Or I'll be driving or it'll be humming a song or at the grocery store or whatever. It's amazing how, and it's different song that comes in my heart and mind. And like Gary said, I appreciate that. I do have a favorite, that's 179. I like singing that. I like because it's what I want. I feel in my heart and I want to do. I surrender all. And it's a reminder as well as just my song in my heart, the thing I desire. And the different aspects of what each verse talks about is specific to what I want to experience and what I want to have that relationship with him. And how it comes about is I surrender all. There's another one that when I was a little kid that I sang, we don't sing it very often, and it only has one line. That's 2:14. Praise God. We don't have amen at the end, but I love to always sing amen. With all its variation of being that. But it's a song that I remembered when I was little singing.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? What you got, Susie?
It's not like one that just goes with the offerings, but a lot of times when I'm stressed, either the chorus of 186, just be peace, the gift of God's love, or peace be still, one of the choruses will come to my head. I don't ever remember all the verses, but just the chorus will keep going through my head and give me peace. Is it so they're stressing out a little bit?
Any others?
I guess I got two actually, and that I can attest to this week. I woke up two different days this week, and I'm kind of like Gary Gordon too. I kind of placed with the song that's very appropriate for situations going on in my life, and it's funny because I found that I'm kind of a morning person, and I like the morning, and I like getting up and getting my coffee ready and everything. And even though I may have stressful stuff going on at work or in life or the car broken down or whatever, that time in the morning, I find that I'm actually very blessed to have songs that are like, and it's not every day, but maybe at least one day, if not 2 days a week, I have like a song that just pops in my head, and I'll be singing it throughout the coffee. Directly relates to what is going to happen that day, and it kind of gives me hope and the ability to kind of get through whatever is happening. I find that it's very interesting how you can talk to pretty much anyone, and no matter who you talk to, music in some form plays a role in everyone's life. Everybody likes music of some form. It's a point of talking about everything, and so it plays a really, really large role in my life and in spiritual life as well. But my two songs this week, I had Whiter Than Snow on Tuesday, and then this last Thursday, Never Be Discouraged was put on my mind in the morning, and I was singing it as I was getting my coffee in the morning. And it turned out that Thursday was a little bit rough at work, so, but that song kind of kept popping in my head all day, and it kind of gave me hope that the day will go by and
thank you. What you got?
That's a whole favorite song, especially because of who they're attached to. Face to Face 72, I shared this before. It's the last song that Artie asked for. And if you read through the lyrics, it very much goes to what she's going through. So it's always stuck with me. Sorry, I get emotional. It's fine. But she always used to call for it. Also, the Spanish is translated exactly the same. Bad, bad. And then my grandma's favorite song, which is Let's Pray for One Another, 259, is also, it's a beautiful song, I love it. But not only is it beautiful, but every time I sing it, it makes me think of my grandma, who she is still with us, but it will always be her song, in my opinion. So those are my two songs that always bring me happiness, because of the memories that come with them. So.
Thank you. Any others?
We need to volunteer, Margaret.
We should volunteer, Margaret. Margaret's willing to volunteer us.
Situation is when I'm kind of down in the dumps, it just comes through. So it's encouraging to me that sometimes I'm able to share it when I'm talking with people on the phone.
Thank you, Margaret.
My favorite is I Surrender All. It's always been my favorite.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing. Thank you all for, I think it's always, you know, it's better when we can exchange information. I think everyone learns a little bit more when we're active. And so appreciate you. You volunteered and were active. It's makes for a better service. You know, I enjoy it. Maybe you don't. I know Betty doesn't, but I know I enjoy it a lot. So I didn't make you talk, Betty. So, but I'll just close with, you know, hopefully that, you know, you can see that there's value in these songs. You know, someone, you know, it meant something and they were inspired and they wrote it down, you know, and now we have this gift, these gifts in the Bible and in our songbooks, you know, and there are other artists, not necessarily in our songbooks, that, you know, they've been inspired, you know, and what's inspiring them. And I think it's, you know, that's why the angels sing in heaven, right? It's because they're inspired of God. And so I hope that you leave here, and, you know, I hope you feast on songs and hymns, spiritual songs, and that, you know, not that it's wrong to listen to other songs, but I don't think there's anything wrong with singing Happy Birthday, or if you get the Kit Kat song stuck in your mind, you know, there's nothing wrong. It's not an evil thing, but You know, where is your heart? And what are you looking for? You know, and if you look for things, you'll get more of what you focus on. You'll get more of what you're looking for. So if you look for these things, you're going to find them. They're going to give you a tool, and they'll give you a hope, and lift your heart when you need it. So wish you all the best, and may God bless you all in this coming week.